says in the parasha, Kisete la melchoma al oivecha, when you'll go out to war against your enemy, unusamei Hashem elokecha biyodecha, and Hashem will place him in your hands, v'shaviso shivyoi, and you will take captives. V'ra'isa ba'shivyo eshes yifastayar, and you will see in captivity a woman that's beautiful. You will have a desire for her. You'll take her as a wife. And the Torah goes on to tell us what the process of the Yifastayar is. She has to bring her into her house. She has to shave her head. She lets her nails grow. Takes off her beautiful clothing. Puts on regular clothing. She has to cry. And then he could take her as a wife. Rashi brings down over here that why was the Torah matter the Yifas Tayer? Dibra Tayer, Li Dibra Tayer, Elokineged Yetzahara. Tayer spoke against the Yetzahara. Because if he doesn't take her, we don't allow him to take her when she's mutter, in a mutterdika way, he'll end up taking her with Israel. Famous question asked over here is number one. Who are we talking about over here? We were talking about Gedolei Yisrael. Who are the people that went out to war? In last week's parasha, the Torah tells us that the Kohen Moshuach Muhammad used to announce, Mi'o'ish Hayorei V'rach Aleva, who is the person that's afraid and is soft-hearted. That doesn't mean the people that were cowardly, Rashi says. That's referring to the people that were afraid of the Aveiras that they had in their hands. And even if someone had an Aveira that he spoke between Yad and Filin Shal Rosh, even such a person returned home. So how's it shaykh? You're talking about people over here that were mamish impeccable in their avodas Hashem. So by them we're afraid that the Yetzirah is going to get the better of them. And if you don't, if you're not matter it, they're going to end up doing it to Yisr. Furthermore, other mafarshim ask a question, so then you should be matter any Yisr for that matter. You know, you're afraid that a fellow will be Yisr, so you have to be matter the Yisr. So chazer, there's other Yisr. So what's the pshat over here that the Torah was matter? The simple pshat that the Baal Musa bring down is that you see from over here that no matter how great a person is, we're always afraid of the Yetzirah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not even trust his tzaddikim, even his holy ones. It says, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Elokei Avram and Elokei Yaakov were only said after they were nifter. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not place his name even on a tzaddik as long as he's alive. We're afraid that the Yetzirah might have an influence on him. Yitzchak, even when he was alive, he was blind. The Yetzirah had no shlita over him. So by Yitzchak it says, Elokei Yitzchak B'chayev. But even by Avram and Yaakov, we find that B'chayev Hashem did not yet call his name upon them. Hein B'gdashim L'yamim. Now why is it only said over here by Yifas Tayer during a time of war? So the Mepharshim said because at a time of war, a person is more susceptible to giving into his Yetzirah. He's not in his normal environment. He's away from home. He was in a massive pachad where he was in a sakonas modest. And this could affect a person in an adverse way where the Yetzirah could catch him off guard. So the Mele Dafka over there, we will not be a pasfeir under such circumstances. But it's self-understood under regular circumstances and with regular Yisurim that can't have such an effect on a person. It's self-understood that over there the heter was not given. This is the simple pshat in the parish, in the Afal Pikein. Even though the Torah gave a heter, Rashi says that this is nismuchot to the next parish of a fellow that will have two wives, ha'achas ahuva ha'achas snua. The end will be he'll end up hating this woman. And right after that is the parish of Ensayru Meira, he'll end up having a Ensayru Meira. This is the simple pshat in the parish. But there is a pshat that said al pidim kubolim over here, which is a very, very interesting, remarkable pshat. The Rechaim HaKadosh is based on the Kisvei HaArizal, and that would shed light a little bit more on why we're afraid that tzaddikim would be involved with the Yifas Tayer. And actually, the way the HaArizal learns and the way the Rechaim HaKadosh learns, it's actually a good thing, the parish of Yifas Tayer. What's the pshat? Rechaim HaKadosh is a niflitik thing. B'shas, the chait of the Eitz Hadas, the Koyach HaTumah in the world had such a chizuk from that, from the chait of the Eitz Hadas, that it kidnapped many neshamas that were on the side of Kiddusha. It kidnapped many of those neshamas and brought it over to the side of Tumah. But that neshama, that was originally a Tardik neshama, has a natural inclination to gravitate to Kedusha. Those are the Geirim that came back to Klal Yisrael over the generations. They come in contact with the Yid, they have a cheshit to come back to Yiddishkeit, and those are the Geirim. They were originally neshamas that were on the Tzad of Kedusha that were kidnapped by the Tzad Hatum. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh gives one example of that. He says, Ki yodua to the Mekubolim, that the great Tana, Rabbi Hanina ben Travian, his neshama was in Shechem ben Hamor. And when Shechem ben Hamor took Dina, when he kidnapped Dina, and he lived with her, that neshama went back over again to the Tzad HaKadosh, and it went back to becoming a Yiddish neshama. He says, it's merumis. In that parasha, if you look at the parasha, it says about the land, v'hi racheves yodayim. It was a very widespread land. Racheves is Rishitavis, Rabbi Hanina ben Travian. Says Dr. Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, that's the pshat with this Yifas Tayar over here. The Yifas Tayar is a very good chance that she's in a neshama that was originally in the Tzad HaKedusha, which right now came in contact with Yidden and has a natural inclination to gravitate back to Yiddishkeit. Meila, if a Yid sees her, and it says v'choshakto bo, you will have a cheshik for what's inside of her. If it would have been the physical attraction, it should have said v'choshakta isa. You will have an attraction to her. V'choshakta ba, you will have a cheshit to what's inside of her. Her natural kedusha shines out. And in addition to that, number one, she shaved her head. Number two, she removes the beautiful clothing. She lets her nails grow. She cries. Physically, she looks ugly. The Afal Pikain, you have that attraction to her. That's a simon that it's not a physical attraction. It's a spiritual attraction. It comes from the neshama which is inside. And remember, this is a Yiddish neshama that has to gravitate over to Klal Yisrael. Yes? So
why did he eventually hate her?
Again, I don't know if this pshat corresponds with the Chazal. There's many different ways of darshaning the Torah, right? And Memela is a lot darker that this fits in with that Chazal. In other words, there are pshatim. You know, this is based on a Zohar Kadosh, doesn't necessarily agree with this Chazal, right? You know, the Torah has many different ways of darshaning, right? But this is the way the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh.
She becomes a Gyaris.
What? She becomes a Gyaris, yeah. She becomes a Gyaris.
The first one is the Fas Chaya, though.
What?
So why is it for the
Chashak Dabah? Yeah, it doesn't have to be beautiful. I mean, it has to be. The Torah speaks in natural terms. But in Ukanami, there's no halakha she has to be beautiful. There's no such halakha. As I learned, there are Chayim HaKadosh. Later on, in the Sedra, the Torah speaks about the Ben Sayer Umayr. Ben Sayer Umayr. Tragic parasha where parents have to bring their son over to Beis Din and they have to give him a din misal shem ha'os. And there's a Gemara in the Sefer Sanhedrin that by an Aleph Amar Aleph that says, Ben Sey Rumeira Lohoya, in the history of Klal Yisrael, there was never such a thing as a Ben Sey Rumeira, but Lo Yihye, there never will be one. So if I say, why did the Torah say a parasha Ben Sey Rumeira? The Drosh V'Kabal Schar. The Torah gave us a parasha to darshan, to expound on, and we'll get schar for expounding on the parasha of Ben Sayer Umayr. So, Rabbi Shaul Salanter asks a question. There are so many parashas in the Torah that are Nagei L'maisa that if you'd learned them for 1,000 years, you know, you still wouldn't get to the bottom of all of them. There's plenty of schar you can get for all those other parashas. So the Torah has to give us a parsh that's bechlal, not Nagei L'maisa. And for what? Drosh V'Kabal Schar. What's the pshat in that? Right. So, usually don't look at my cell phone during a shir, but we had a little bit of an emergency earlier, so I thought it was that. Anyway, what's the pshat? Zokter Yisrael Salanter, that the Torah is coming to tell us a special limud over here. The limud of the Torah is, of course, the most refined chelik of learning is to learn through a parasha in the Torah, and to learn through the Gemaras, and to learn through the Rishayim, and from that to come, and come to the deducing the halacha l'maisa. That is the highest, most chashuv way of learning. However, the Torah wants to teach us that even in instances where you don't come out with halacha l'maisa, and even if something is b'chlal not negei l'maisa, Torah, there's a gewaltige Sache learning Torah for the sake of learning Torah, even when it's not a Yael Amais. Because Torah is the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Anoichi, Hashem Elokecha, Chazal says, Rosh HaTevis, Ano Nafshi Ksavis Yehavis. Pashtu Shach means, I myself wrote it and gave it over. But others cite it to mean, I, my nefesh, have written and given it over in the Torah. The Torah is like the nefesh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even if it wouldn't be Nogel, Lemaisa, Afal Pekin, there's a Chashivas and Limud HaTorah for the sake of Limud HaTorah. Because Torah is by its very nature Emes. Torah and Emes go hand in hand. That's what Limud wants to tell us over here. So of course there's plenty of things to learn to get schar for. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Nafka wanted to give us a parasha, which is not Nogel Lemaisa, to teach us that even in cases where it doesn't come out Lemaisa, Afal Pekin is a Merit Inya of learning Torah. Those are Kribi Shal Salat. Afal Pekin. The Mepharshim say there are practical things that we could learn from over here. And a simple practical thing that we could learn from over here, the Minaya of the Panavish Yeshiva in Lita, his name is Rav Asher Kalman Baron, Zeichet Tzadik B'Kodesh L'Vracha, he said that a simple lima to be learned from over here is how you have to be very careful when you pamper your kids. A person has to be very careful in pampering children. Of course, everybody wants children to have a nice life and everybody wants them to be happy, but there is a certain fine line between making them happy and over pampering them where they become a orangutan in the Titus Olam Hazeh and the Gashmius of Olam Hazeh, and then we suffer from them. Then they have to have this and they have to have that, and they need more and they need more and they need more, and then their whole life becomes Shakua in Titus Olam Hazeh. That's what Ben Sayyiru Meir is. That can never happen. But the Torah is teaching us that this is what happens when someone becomes Shakua and Taivis, that we have to worry he becomes a menace to society. So I got the actual Ben Sayyiru Meir never did happen, but there are limudim over here that we can take lemaisa, that we have to be careful in the way we treat our children, not to overly stuff them with gashmias. That's a lima that can be learned from the parish of Ben Sayyiru Meir. The Torah goes on to say, you should not see the chamor of your friend or his short falling and hide yourself from it. That's the mitzvah of, you have to help him load back his animal. That is the mitzvah of te'ina. Rashi says over here, you should help load the animal with him. The only time you're mechuyev to help him load is if he does it himself. But if he's going to sit back and say, I'm not going to do anything, you have a mitzvah, you load it for me, then you're not mechuyev to do it. Hakim tokim imay, with him. But if he's not willing to do it, you have no chiyev to help. So the Chafetz Chaim, that from here you see a Mary Dechalimut. It's the same thing with us in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give us the Yata Dishmaya, help us with our Ruchnias, give us the opportunity to learn Torah, give us the opportunity to be able to serve you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us if he sees that we're willing to help ourselves. And we're going the extra mile to try and serve him. But if the fellow lays back and he takes it easy, we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me, help me. If Hashem doesn't see that you're willing to take the initiative, then Hashem will say, I'm not going to do it. How can you talk to me like? If you're willing to do it, then I'll do it with you. There's a fellow, I heard of Shalom Shvadron Zatzalseh with this marshal. He called the fellow a Shlomazalnik. In Yiddish, there's this, an expression, he's a Shlomazalnik from Shlomazel. A fellow that manages to do everything wrong, you know. The fellow Ashlam is out there. He's, you know, he always does the wrong thing. He has a couple of daughters that he has to marry you off, but he has no money. So what does he do? He goes around, if I die yet, how am I going to marry my daughters off? Somebody tells him, listen to Baruch, you know, he's one of the wealthy men in the city. He likes to do chasadim with people. Go to him, he'll give you a long-term loan. He's not going to bug you about it. Give him a call. Oh, no, Givaldi, Givaldi, Givaldi. So he dials the phone. Hello, Rabbi, how are you? How's everything? How's the mishpacha? How's that? This is Shlomo Zalnik. You know, I'm marrying off daughters. I need a loan money. Could I trouble you perhaps to help me? So sure, you know, tomorrow when I close my business at 5 o'clock, come down. I'll be happy to speak with you. a whole day, he's Yoshev Batal Lishlam Mizalnik, you know, all of a sudden it comes 5 o'clock, he remembers he has to do this and he has to do that, and he's so busy with other things. Comes 7 o'clock, oh, I forgot, what did I do? I forgot. Next day again, calls up Rabbarach, I'm so sorry, I couldn't make it yesterday. Maybe I can come down again today. Sure, sure, but you know, I'll be waiting for you. Please come down. Same thing over again. A whole day he's Yoshev Batal, and it comes near 5 o'clock. He remembered all of the things he didn't do. And again, he misses the appointment. He calls a third time, and this time Rabbarach is a little bit impatient. He said, listen, I'm staying there just for you. Please make sure to come down. Yeah, I'll come. And sure enough, the same thing happens over again. The next day he calls again. Rabbarach says, hello, I'm sorry, I can't waste more time. And he hangs up on him. He says, it's the same thing with us. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day, Avinu, oh, Harachamon, Hamarachem, Rachem, Aleinu, V'sengu Libeinu Bino, V'homen, V'haskel, L'shmaya, L'umayu, V'sengu Libeinu Bino, V'homen, V'haskel, L'shmaya, L'umayu, Lame, L'shma, V'lasu, L'kayim. I'm in so many L'shaynes. We say that, Kadosh Baruch Hu. Malachim ready to pour down that bracha on us. Comes down. What happens right after the davening? The guy walks off and buys himself the morning paper. You know, and what's going on here? You're just begging me for bina lahovin alask l'shmaylim. You know, comes the next day again. The same thing of bina over rock. I'm in rock and my welcome. I'm ready to pour it down. Right after davening, he gets on his cell phone for a couple of hours. You know, he's my back with that. You know, and Zayizut Nishtak. This happens a couple of days. Finally, comes Baruch and says, you know, Zayizut Nishtak. You know, your words don't really mean anything. That's what the Torah means over here. Hokin talking imoy. If you're going to put the effort in it, you show that you're taking, you know, eris in it, then hokin talking imoy, then I'll take it be makayim together with you. I'll be able to help you bear the load. As a result, the halo yechav etzchaim. There's a very exciting the kemachloikis over here between the Rambam and the Rambam. On the posik, he kore kan sifro lefanecha baderech. If you encounter the nest of a bird, whether it's young birds or eggs, don't take the mother together with the children, so the Rambam in Meir Nebuchim says, what is the reason for this mitzvah? Because it's a davar yodua that the same way human beings, if chas v'shalom, a child is killed in front of its parents' eyes, it's a terrible, terrible tzar for the parent. It's a yodua that balei chayim have that same tzar. If they see that their child is geshachten b'feneihem, it's a terrible tzar for the bal chayim. Memeos nidus rachmonis. Person leisika ha'em al habanim. It's the same thing. There's a parish of oisiv es benoi leisishka tu b'yanim echad. The same thing in Allah Hashem. A parent with a child. It's a terrible tzar for the parent to see his child yishach in front of him. That is what the Rambam says in Meir Nebuchim. The Rambam asks Akasha, but what do you mean? How could I say that the inyan of kan sipur is because of Rachman is? There's a beferish of Chazal that says in Masechtas Brachos Daf Lamed Gimel, Ho'oimer al kan tzipor yagiu rachamecha. If a fellow says about the nest, you know, you should have rachmanis on us, the same way you have rachmanis on the birds, Shas can I say, quiet him down. Why? Because he's making HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs into rachman, the animal exeris. These are decrees from Hashem. It's got nothing to do with rachmanis. So Chayyus of the Rambam, how can I say that the reason for this mitzvah is because of the need of Rachmanis when the Gemara says Chazal say the famous man like that? So the Rambam, it's a machloikis tanoek. It's a machloikis. There are shitas that say that the mitzvahs have no reasons. The mitzvahs are a decree from Hashem just in order for us to get schar. But there's others that say it has reasons. I hold like the mandama that says that the mitzvahs have reasons. And may I say that the mitzvah can't see for us because of Rachmanis. Now you know, can I? That chazal over there is going with you the shita that says that they're all gzeiros without any reasons behind them. This is the shita of Rambam. The Ramban brings down numerous chazals with clearly mashma that there are reasons for the mitzvahs. It's not just gzeiros without reasons. It's clearly mashma that there are reasons for the mitzvahs. And therefore, the Ramban learns a different shot than Ha'omer al Kantzipu Yagi Urachamah. He says, of course, it's because of Rachmanis. But what does that mean? Chazal say like this. Hashem had Rachmanis on us the same way you had Rachmanis on the Tzipor. That's a mistake, because we can't attribute Rachmanis from Hashem on his Bria just because of Kan Tzipor. Because for Haraya, that would be the case. How does Hashem allow us to check the animals B'chlal? Obviously, we don't know the reason as far as Hashem goes. Mitzvah Hashem could be its exeir. When Hashem gives us these mitzvahs, He gives it to ingrain us with Rachmanis, right? That it's not to say Hashem's Rachmanis is going on the Bria. No, we don't know that. We have no idea. As far as Hashem goes, you know, we don't know what His reason is beside Himself. The reasons for the mitzvahs are to ingrain good midas within ourselves. Over here, it's to ingrain the midas of Rachmanis within ourselves. The Ramban says when it comes to eating kosher animals and non-kosher animals, he says, ki yadua, that the non-kosher animals have in themselves bad midas, and the kosher animals have good midas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want us to invite, to consume non-kosher animals, because we'd be taking into ourselves bad midas. So the mitzvahs are meant to be mitzari for us, to cleanse us, to refine us. That's the purpose of the mitzvahs. So that's the pshat. Everybody agrees. It's not my politics. There's different reasons for mitzvahs. But to say that the reason is because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rachmanis on the Bria, that already you can't say. Because we can't say it's the Rachmanis of Hashem on the Bria, because you see, without the Shechita, Hashem allows Shechita of animals. But what we do know is that the reason is to refine us with Rachmanis. There's Tumah v'Tahara. Why is the Tumah v'Tahara? Does it make a difference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if we touch this or we touch that? No. It doesn't make a difference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The difference is to us. If we maintain Tahara, then our neshamas are on a much higher level. So what it comes out is like this. According to the Rambam, there's a machlokes in Chazal. Are there reasons for mitzvahs, or are they all gzeiros melech? The Ramban says, no, everybody agrees that there are reasons for the mitzvahs. We can't attribute the Rachmanis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it regards the animals. What we have to say is the mitzvahs were given to refine us, and He gave us this mitzvah, Abayshid Ez Benoy, or the mitzvah Shiluach HaKein, that we should have the Rachmanis, the meat of Rachmanis, ingrained within ourselves. That is a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. There's another issur in the Torah in this week's parish. It says, someone from Ammon and Moab cannot intermarry in the nation of Hashem. And what's the reason for this? The Torah tells us, they didn't come forth when you passed their area. They didn't come out and greet you with bread and wine. And also, he hired Bilam to give you a cloth. Okay, listen, these were terrible things that they did, but is this a reason why they shouldn't come into Klal Yisrael? So the Ramban says a nifladikah thing. Ramban says, who is Ammon and Moav? Ammon and Moav were the sons of Lot. Lot was nurtured by Avraham Avinu. Lot became rich because of Avraham Avinu. Lot was saved from destruction from Sodom only because of Avraham Avinu. So if that's the case, Ammon and Moab should have had tremendous hakaras hatayim to the children of Avraham because of what their ancestor did. And here they did the exact opposite. The Amish like gave us a patch and punim by mistreating us. That lack of hakaras hatayim, you can't come into Klal Yisrael. So from this one, we see two major chidushim. There was a gap of over 400 years between the time that Lot was with Avram and the Maisa that happened in the Midbar. From Leidas Yitzchak, from the birth of Yitzchak, till when they went out of Mitzrayim was 400 years. This Maisa with Avram was then happened before Yitzchak Avinu was born. So it was over 400 years before. Yafal Pekin, there's a time on Amon and Moav that they didn't remember the chesed that happened with their ancestor over 400 years ago. How far HaKoras HaTayim goes. That person does you a favor. Zechiyatini Makir Tayim. But that a fellow's ancestor did you a favor 400 years ago? And if he doesn't, if you're not Makir Tayim to that, you can't come into Klal Yisrael. That is Pilui Plai. That's Chiddush number one. Chiddush number two, why should they come into Klal Yisrael? Because they did an Avodah. But Akibet Kach, they can't come into Klal Yisrael. So the Sfarim say, you see from over here, that one of the basic components of the Yid is Hakaras HaTayim. And if they're lacking that basic component, then they are the antithesis of being a Yid. Tashak to be a Yid. Famous verse from the Chiddush Yerim. Why are we called Yidden, Yehudim? We don't all come from Shevet Yehudim. So why are we called Yehudim? He was called Yehuda Hashem, Apam Eide Es Hashem. That is a midah that's ingrained in every single Yid, no matter which Shevet you're from. Baruch Hashem, Be'ezras Hashem, Chavei Hashem. We say it constantly. It's constantly on our lips. Every Yid is a Metzius of Apam Eide Es Hashem. That's why we're called Yidden. That's why we're all called Yehudim. So that is the essence of a Yid, to be Makar Tayim. And they are not Makritayim, then they are Lehefel, they are the antithesis of what a Yid is. They're missing that basic component, the male that cannot come into Klal Yisrael. That's why the Yovi Amoni and Yovi Bekal Hashem. So, Moyu the Kemaisim, which Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzah. Rabbi Yaakov was the Rish Yeshiva in Torah Vedas. So, there was a Bacher in the dormitory that wasn't complying with the different rules and regulations. They spoke to him once, and a second time, and a third time, and a fifth time. It just wasn't going. So finally, Dan Holos HaYeshiva, which Rabbi Yaakov was with Yeshiva, they had a meeting. One of the things they decided was that this boy has to leave the dormitory. Dormitory is it's a mile that you have if you're able to stick to the rules. If you don't have that, we can't accord you that courtesy. Fine. So he was given the Zardin that he has to leave the dormitory. The fellow was from out of town. He had no idea where he's going to find a place to stay. He's busy packing his bag slowly in his mom's sheet, ice mansion. A bacher comes into his room and says, I have a message. Rabbi Yaakov wants to speak to you in his house. And his mom's sheet's trembling, like, what does Rabbi Yaakov want? He wants to throw me out completely. He goes to Rabbi Yaakov's house. Rabbi Yaakov calls him in, sits him down by the table. He says, Chaim, he says, I want to invite you to live in my house for the amount of time you're kicked out of the dormitory. I want to invite you to stay in my house and be the guest of myself and the rabbits. You'll leave here, you'll sleep here. I only require that you have to stick to the laws of the yeshiva. You have to come to davening on time. You have to go to sleep at a decent hour. You'll be our guest for the next amount of month that you were sent out of the dormitory. He was like, besides himself, I couldn't believe it. But there were people on that hole that had a time under behind you. Here you were part of the Anhola that said that the boy should be sent out of the dormitory, and now you go on your own, you take him into your house, and he's like, Mamash Kineged, what the yeshiva decided. So Yaakov said, Mitzav, the laws of the yeshiva, you're 100% right. But Mitzav, Hilchas Derech Eretz, I was Mechuyiv to invite him to my house. Just why? So when I was a younger man, and I learned of the Kovner Kailu, this boy's great-grandfather, there were always issues with money, whatever. This boy's great-grandfather, he was the Askin behind the Kovner Kailu, and he made sure that I was able to sit and learn. So Pashat al-Sakoris, I tell you, I was not allowed to let him just go out and wander and not have any place to stay. He said, Hilchas HaYeshiva, you're 100% right. He said, Hilchas HaKoris, I tell you, I was believed to take him to my house. That's because of the boy's great-grandfather. You know, if you see by Amon and Maya for 400 years before, we're mechuyev to be makatayv. The boy's great-grandfather is not stretching it so much. That's something that we have to know when it comes to mitzad hakoras atayv. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.